Good evening, church. As Ken alluded to, we do have a special guest speaker tonight. It is not me. It is my privilege, though, to introduce my brother, Josh Austin. Many of you know him. Some of you may not. He is one of the works that we support here from this congregation. They're based out of Mesa, Arizona. I'll let him kind of fill you in the details on all the work he's currently doing. Just a little bit of background on my brother and myself in a roundabout way. We're both sons of a missionary. My dad started a church in Kayenta, Arizona, which is on the Navajo Reservation, sometime back in the early 70s. He was there for about 24 years. That's where my brother and I were raised. We have a state basketball champion down there, a better state basketball champion up here. There's facts to that statement. My brother played for the University of Denver on a basketball scholarship. While he was in Denver, he found Bear Valley Bible Institute, started taking some classes, ended up becoming a preacher, met his wife, Divine, and then he went back to the reservation and kind of got the church going again, and then he's progressed on from there at various other sites. So I'll let him fill in the details, but it is my privilege to introduce my brother, and he will give us the updates on his work there.
Good evening, church. Great to be with you. It has been a while. It has been a long while since we were last here. It's a privilege. We are always grateful to come and spend time with you and especially get time with family and my brother. You know, people only will say something that they're better than some, you know, theirs is better than if they're trying to, you know, prove it. Those that they're just like, okay, you guys get what you can. But it is great to tell our story. We enjoy it and talking about the how we were raised and being one of the few white kids that grew up there and so, you know, LaTanya being from the reservation and high school sweetheart there with Ben. It's good. We're grateful for this congregation and your support. We know that you not only support us financially, but you support us with prayers. And some of you remember even Jason when he was out there coming and worshiping with us for several years. And it's good to see Jason here. Glad you're practicing social distancing away from all of us, you know. It's great to see Jason. When he would come out, it was always such an encouragement to have him in Arizona and get in time with him. So some of you might not know us, so we're going to try to do the best that we can. I just wanted to read a quick scripture. If you think about, you know, here we are coming to a Bible class. You're saying we're coming to a Bible class and we're seeing pictures and we're hearing about the work in Arizona. Well, that's actually what Paul did. It says in Acts chapter 14 and verse 27, it says, when they, Paul and Barnabas, and they arrived and they gathered the church together. We gathered the church together. He went back to Antioch there, and it says they gathered the church together and they spoke about all that God had done with them and how God had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. That's what I'm going to do. We've had a chance to gather the church together, and I'm hoping that you will see what God has done through us, that he has opened a door there in Mesa, Arizona, and other places, and the way that this is reached out. So I'll go through it as quick as I can, and we'll just when it's time to stop, you just kind of like, you know, let me know, and we'll do our best as we go through. I know there's some new people, and it's been so long since I was last here that some of you might not remember, but Arizona. It is in the United States. I know Texas is kind of its own country, but Arizona, there are over 22 Native American Indian tribes reservations that are in Arizona, And like what Ben said, we are actually from this area. We grew up here on the Navajo Reservation, and it extends into New Mexico and up into Utah. It's the largest reservation in the United States. It's bigger than the state of West Virginia, just to give you an idea. It's about 4.5-hour drive from one end to the other. So there's about almost 200,000 Navajos that live up in this area. Well, we decided back in 2013 to do a church plant down here in Phoenix and Salt River Pima Maricopa Indian Community. No, S-R-P-M-I-C is how it's said. And so we decided that we would reach out to this area. And if you look now on the map, you can see this yellow part right here. That's the Salt River Pima Maricopa Indian Community. There's about 10,000 or so people that live in this area. And the Pima community is surrounded by a city. And so it's interesting, if you were to ever, if for those of you that have ever been there, you drive up this freeway right here, and you know, Jason, he was the Diamondback State practice stadium is like right in here, but this side is all open, and then it's just city all around it. And so the city is almost gathered around. And so we decided to, when we first looked at this in 2013, we said it would be pretty neat if we could ideally meet right here. That was our goal in 2013, because the Lord's Church didn't exist right there. And the other reason we thought that would be good, because Scottsdale Community College was here, Arizona State University and Mesa Community College were right there. And we thought, man, if we could be right in between these colleges, we would love to eventually reach out to these college students and see them possibly move back to these different reservations. There's Hopis and there's Apaches and all of these different people coming to college. And what if we could convert them, and then when they go back to become teachers and nurses, and what if they went back? We feel like this could be a good location for us. And that has been exactly where we're at right now. We don't meet on the reservation. This was our goal, was to meet here. We actually meet there. So we are just south of the reservation. We're in the city of Mesa. And there's probably about 40,000 natives that live in this area within a 10-15 minute drive without a problem. And but Phoenix has more natives than anywhere else in the United States that I know of. There's probably over 130,000 natives just in the Phoenix area. And I know that's not as many as the Navajo Reservation, but it's more concentrated. And that's what we're trying to do, is to say, how could we reach all of these 22 reservations? And there's actually over 300 reservations around the United States. And to the best of my knowledge, there's only about 10 of them out of the 300 that have the Lord's Church meeting in those areas. And so we just said, what if we could become sort of a hub, that this is where God, he can bring people into our path and then help send them out into different areas. And that's what we've shot to do for the last several years. And we started, like my brother said, we preached in Kayenta for 9 years. My wife and I and all the kids were raised up out there until they were 2, 4, 6, and 8 when we left. And these three people, the groups of people, they were all from that work in Kayenta, and they moved down there to Phoenix, either for schooling or for jobs or for better opportunities. And all of them have been crucial in the church plant that we started in 2013. And what's interesting is the way the Lord works is Stenson, his parents became Christians in Kayenta, still faithful and do a great job in Kayenta. Well, wouldn't you know that Stenson, even though he's half Navajo, he's about a quarter Salt River Pima Maricopa community. He's a registered member of that tribe. And so when we were trying to get in, when we were trying to rent facilities, when we were trying to talk, he was our guy, because he was actually a tribal member, which you just imagine, out of all the tribes, he happens to be able to get us in there. And then this is Evan Todacini and his wife Crystal. His cousin is Reggie Todacini and his wife Tia. And they also were in Kayenta. And in fact, Reggie, his grandmother was one of the first Christians in Kayenta in the 1970s. And now he is one of the strong leaders for us there at Salt River and does a great job. Well, Evan, his story, you guys may remember him, that he was one of our first Christians, and he was a student at Arizona State University. And 3 months after he became a Christian, his one-year-old son died of meningitis. And you talk about shaking your world when you're 22 years old and your son just died, and I just became a Christian. Like, God, you know, I'm giving my life to you, and then you're going to, you know, why does my son die? It's like, this doesn't make sense. It's almost like I'm being punished for becoming a Christian. Well, thankfully, they decided to turn to the Lord, and they just caught fire in their faith, and they went to Bear Valley Bible Institute in Denver and came back, and they've now been working with us for about 4 years now and doing an amazing job. They have 3 girls, and we are so blessed to have them in all that they do. We also had other groups like the Guajardo family, that they also were in Kayenta and moved down there. What's amazing is they are all Christians. It's one of the first times that we've ever had that happen, where you had a husband and a wife and all the kids that were Christians. In my 18 years of preaching, that was the first time that we ever had a husband, wife, and all the kids that were Christians. And so keep them in prayer, because they have just recently shared with me that they may want to move back to her hometown on the reservation in Mini Farms, Arizona, and possibly help the church there. So keep that in prayer, please, as they are making some of those decisions. Arlinda, she has been amazing. She was actually raised in the church out on the Navajo Reservation. These are her 3 children here, and she just lost her husband 3 weeks ago, a month ago maybe. Her husband just died, and so keep them in your prayers, please. These are some of the others that came and have helped us over the years and have been a part of us that we're connected with. These were some of the first converts. Ellen is Hopi. Her friend Jen were some of the early ones. Dean, a Hopi guy. The Coven is from the Navajo Reservation. This is Crystal Todacini's sister. I'll have a quiz on all of these names and who's connected, so don't worry about it. But you know, it's just amazing how the Lord works, right? Because sometimes we're looking for, how do we get people? Well, friends, family, coworkers. That's how it goes, really. I mean, we can have all the programs we want, but statistics, studies, all of it, it's who you know. The person that you have a relationship, they're the ones who are going to listen to you. Just knocking the door or handing out a flyer, just visiting around, that's not going to connect like somebody that's personal to them. So don't forget the power of your invitation and you deciding to study with somebody. These are some people that we did door knock with. We did door knock and get to know Amelia. Whereas Donald, we got to know him when we were doing jail ministry on the reservation. We were doing jail ministry and he was hungry for the word, and got to know Donald real well. And then he told his ex-wife about us and studied with her. And then she became a Christian. And it's just amazing how the Lord continues to work in people's lives. I can't remember if we had talked about, we rent a strip mall. You know, we rent a strip mall is where we're at, just south of the reservation. We're really close to the Chicago Cubs spring training facility. Jason got to pitch over there, and we're just, man, you can walk there. In fact, people walk to the stadium from there. So we have this strip mall right here, and before COVID, we were experiencing good growth. I think we were up around 75 to 80 pretty consistently. And so when the people next door to us moved, we decided to go ahead and rent that space as well. We tore out the wall and had a group from Tennessee come out and help us. In fact, Jason was there. I usually have a picture with Jason and Larry and Carol, and he's got his white suit on, and they're dealing with the insulation and all of that. So Jason was there when we were doing that. But now this has really helped with COVID, because now we had more space to separate chairs out and make a little bit more room with some of those kinds of things. But that's a picture of how it was. That's been 2 years now, if you can believe that. That's been 2 years. Speaking of COVID, some of you guys, just a quick hands, how many of you heard about how hard hit the Native Americans were hit? Did anybody else see that on the news? I think quite a few of you may have seen that. We don't quite know. There were lots of different reasons, that maybe the remoteness, how far they were from medical facilities, lack of running water. Some people have said genetics, diet. I mean, there's just a whole bunch of things. But whatever the case, the numbers were far greater on how many people got COVID and how many people died from COVID. Last May, when we were down in Phoenix, we didn't know anybody down in our area. Our kids play volleyball. All of our neighbors, everybody from church, we didn't know a single person that had COVID. But New York was blowing up, you know, that we hear all of these places. But the Navajo Nation, we knew all kinds of people that had COVID and were dying from COVID. The one lady I told you about, Ellen, from the Hopi Reservation, she's had 10 people die just in her family. Now, obviously, there's some big families, but still, 10 deaths, not just that got it, but 10 people that have died from COVID-related and others that we know. So it hit the reservation hard. And so the Christian Chronicle, I don't know if some of you guys saw that, but and there's some brethren here. There's been several brethren that are here, and I want to thank you guys that sent money. And I think we had a total of $35,000 that were sent to us. And man, this was our first effort. We just went to Sam's Club, because you remember how it was limited. Like, you're saying, hey, we want to go help, but you're only allowed to buy so much toilet paper. You're only allowed to buy. So you talk about looking pretty bad is when you have a cartload and you're, you know, hoarding it and everybody else is being limited. We actually got a letter and said, we're with the Salt River Church of Christ. This is for a relief effort, COVID relief up on the reservation, because they don't have stores and they're short on supplies. So we were actually giving it to the store managers, and then they would let us. But the looks, you know, and so we loaded up the minivan and we took it up to Flagstaff, Arizona. And the people from Pinon came, and man, they said it was snatched up so quick. They were in desperate need of that. Well, it's interesting the way God provides, because Arizona became a hotspot by the end of May, June. Arizona was one of the leading number of cases and all of that. There were some school teachers, Jeff and Kelly, and they decided to say, they had already been planning it since January, so before COVID, and they have two little girls. And we told them, we said, man, COVID is at its peak here in Arizona. And they said, we're coming. And I said, I don't know what we can do, because the churches were shutting down. We don't know what's going to happen. Well, all of this money started pouring in, and they said, we'll do it. So from morning until night, they were going from store to store, because you could only buy limited supplies. Even with our letter, sometimes it was limited supplies. And they would spend almost all day going and getting these supplies. And so it went from a minivan to a trailer load. And, you know, it was amazing just how much we were able to get. And we took it back up to Kayenta, Pinon, and we just loaded it up. And it was amazing to see how it affected them. But they said the people were grateful. You know, they were grateful because these supplies were limited. It was hard to come by. And you can imagine in Phoenix, when you have all of these stores in Houston, well, if you lived in Kayenta, the closest Walmart, the closest decent-sized town is 2.5 hours. So to get to Flagstaff, I could finally say, okay, I got to get some supplies, drive 2.5 hours, and they could be completely sold out because everybody else is trying to get there too. So what are you going to do? And that's what we did. We also went to mini farms, and this is Alfred Jean here, and you can see one of the more traditional houses there behind him. But, you know, it touched people. Another group that had scheduled already back in January was Concord Road Church of Christ in Nashville, Tennessee area. And their youth group said, hey, we know that there's a lot of concern, but we would still like to come if that's okay. And we said, let's do it. And so they had a smaller group that came. These were the ones who said, we still want to come. And they got on a flight way back in July, if you can imagine, when everything was hitting. They said, we're still going to come. And they did a vacation Bible school for us. And we didn't have very many people, again. But just the encouragement that it was, because everybody was in their homes. There was nothing happening. And so we had these kids that were able to come, and the teenagers from Concord Road, as well as our teenagers. Right there's my daughter Alyssa, and it was nothing huge, nothing big, but there's Josiah and one of Evan's kids, Rainey, and the youth minister and his son right there practicing his mask protocol. The teens all got together and they sang every night. So in the morning we would work with the little ones, and then at night we had something more for the teens, and it was encouraging. I think the kids said it was great, just the singing together, the fellowship together, because everybody was so isolated, and when we were coming together to worship God, it was wonderful. We really had a great time. While they were there, we said, you know what, we need to put these guys to work. And when you buy big bags of rice and big sets of beans and flour, and you give that to the missionaries, they're the ones who have to do all that work. Well, we had all these teenagers, so we got them going and started putting them in plastic bags. And it really helped out, because now you are able to distribute it a lot easier. Now we could put them in bags, and that's what Jeff and Kelly did. I mean, they organized it. We figured out how to do it. But you can see it was an assembly line. We had literally thousands of dollars worth of supplies and just trying to get it out there so people could use it. Spam was hard to come by. So canned meat. That was precious. Canned meat was something that they wanted, because some of them don't have electricity. So you need something that doesn't go bad, but you still would like to have meat. So the Vienna sausages, the Spam, some of those things, it was a blessing for those that were able to get it. The kids put together signs, and we put those on the trailers. And we just said, Navajo Nation Relief, Church of Christ. And we took that up there to the reservations and just loaded it up and put the sideboards on the trailer. And it's amazing how much Clorox bleach and gallons of water and all of that, the trailer tires were, you know, hurting. But this was one of the things that Jeff and Kelly did. We went ahead and pre-bagged them. So some of them said food, and then others said cleaning supplies, you know, so we just depended on which one. And we stapled on there this our card and a Bible correspondence course saying, we want to encourage you to sign up for one of our Bible studies. And we took that to the Apache Reservation, and this is what it looked like. The Apache Reservation, the Lord's Church, does not exist there. So Jeff and Kelly went there, and it touched them, because they could see a different level of poverty that was there compared to some, even on the Navajo reservation. But when we got there, and on the side, our sign said Church of Christ, and we called ahead and said the Church of Christ is going to be handing out all of these things. And I just asked the tribal leader, the town leader, if you remember Tia. Anyway, this is her uncle, and he's the community leader. And I said, would you just say a few words so we can share this with people back home? And he said, yeah. He said, I just want to So I got him on there and he was speaking. He said, I want to say thank you to the Salt River Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints for bringing these supplies. And I was like, no. I said, we're actually from the Church of Christ. And then the ladies, when they were over there and we were talking with them, they said, did you know my son was died, or not died, but my son was baptized when he was 8 years old over at the Mormon church. So when they heard Church of Christ, all they knew was Church of Christ of Latter-day Saints, Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They had no clue. And for Jeff and Kelly coming from Tennessee, the Bible Belt, that just blew them away. Like, we have got to do something. So they are planning on being here back down in Phoenix June 8th. And we are sending a mission trip to this place. And we are going to be knocking doors. We're going to be handing out tracts. We are trying to set up Bible studies because we took at least three loads there. And we feel like some benevolence has been done. Some good works have been done, but they need the gospel. They need the truth. And so we're going to bring 30 people up there the June 13th through the 16th. And we're going to just try to church plant, you know, just like go into a brand new place that doesn't even know. And that's our goal, is to meet there. So keep that in prayer. Please keep that in prayer. They're locked down. So we don't know if they'll let us meet in public. We don't know if they'll let us go door to door. We don't know exactly what they're going to let us do. So we're buying another $5,000 worth of COVID relief supplies, and they will let us give out those supplies. But with those supplies, we will have tracts, and we will have Bible studies, and we will have these other opportunities. But we're hoping we're going to be able to invite them to a 6 o'clock Bible study, and there will still be some that will show up for that. So again, this is going to require some prayer. I hope that the next time I come here, I'll say, you guys remember how we didn't know what to expect, but God just so happened to know, open this door, and God just so happened. That's my prayer. And I pray that you'll pray that for us as well. But this is Reggie. I told you about Reggie, who his grandmother was one of the first in Kayenta. That's Reggie's mom. She now lives there on the Apache Reservation. That's Tia's mom. There's my daughter Elena and Kelly. And then the other ladies and the young gentlemen who are all helping us. But you can see we were just out in the parking lot. There was a little gas station and a little store right behind us. And they just would drive their cars, and we would just hand it into their vehicles, and they would drive off. We also had some of the Navajo Nation. This brother here is from Kayenta, but he now preaches in Winter Rock, Arizona. He went to Bear Valley. Him and his wife came down to Phoenix and picked up a bunch of supplies and took it back and handed it out. We also had money donated for firewood, because the Navajo Nation, I want you guys to think about this. The Navajo Nation had a curfew every day from 8 p.m. No, was it 8? 7. 7 or 8, I forgot. 7 p.m. until 6 a.m. or 7 a.m. every single day. And on the weekend, it was from Friday, 7 p.m. until Monday morning. You were not allowed to be on the streets. You are not allowed to go to the store. You are not allowed to go to the gas stations. You were in there, and this happened for almost a year. I know that in Arizona, I think we did this for maybe 1 week or a few days. I don't know if they did that here. I want you to imagine for months, almost a year, imagine what that does. And so they couldn't get out to get firewood. They couldn't get out. And it's cold on the Navajo Reservation. I mean, you're talking -3 degrees in the wintertime, right? I know you guys got some freezing weather, but that's not normal here, but that is normal there. And so we had money, I think another $10,000 donated to help buy firewood. And these are some of the people, because Evan was able to get up there and help some of the elderly get firewood so they could keep warm this winter. We also you know, the way that it works with COVID, we had people that just were not able to meet. But we had some that it drew them back, because we started meeting, I think, in May. Like, we had that shutdown of about a month or a little over a month. I think almost everybody in the whole country did. But when we started meeting, there were people that COVID got their attention to say, I need to get right with the Lord. And Patty was one of those. And so she was restored. We also had a wedding for her. She was restored this past summer. And she was actually in a car accident on Sunday. So please keep her in prayers. Lots of stuff going on there. Patty's brother, Sullivan, and his wife, they also started coming back. And she was actually baptized into Christ this past summer. And that's her husband and son. And then Marie, she was also baptized into Christ in the Salt River. That's actually Salt River right there. And those are her three girls. But we haven't seen her because she actually started working and her job is on Sundays. So please, again, lots of challenges. Jen is another one of the sisters. You may have seen her at the very beginning. I said one of the very first Christians with the Hopi lady. Jen now has a little girl, and she also came back during this whole COVID situation. It kind of got her attention. Peter, kind of up close and personal with you right there. Peter is a school teacher, and he has been a tremendous servant for us. Jason knows him real well. Just, man, on fire. He will do everything from take out the trash to preach a sermon to lead singing to, you know, you need a ride and it's an hour to your house. Hey, I'll do that for you. You know, let me give you a ride. He will just do whatever it takes. He is a servant. And so very thankful for Peter. And we were able to finally twist his arm hard enough to go to Bear Valley Bible Institute. And he started in August, and he's finishing up his first year, and really excited about him. And we're hoping we can continue to twist that arm to bring him back to the Arizona area to help do some work out in our neck of the woods. But over the summer with COVID, we did some games. You know, we did sand volleyball. We had a family camping trip in September or October. I forgot. We went up to the mountains. Yes, that is Arizona. For those of you that only know Phoenix, beautiful, beautiful weather up there in the mountains. And we did a little family camping trip. In the fall, we were sad to lose our dear brother, Justin Fullwilder. And Justin is one of those guys that we found door knocking. We were just knocking doors, and we asked if he'd be interested in a Bible study. And he said, yeah, sure, I'm interested. And some of you may remember his story. He's been in jail the majority of his life, probably over 20 plus years. I don't know if I can say majority. Yeah, between juvenile and everything, but definitely over 20 years easy. He said that he did it all. He's like, I've been there, done that. He talks about how he could stab you without blinking an eye. You know, you kind of cross him, you make fun of him in any way, he would stab you. He would make no mistake. He would rob people. He was an alcoholic for most of his life. Been there, done that. Married, divorced, homeless, living on the streets, drugs. I was talking to one guy. He was an older guy, and he goes, yeah. He goes, I remember Justin. I remember him as a young man. He said he was huge, like just built. He said, I never wanted to like cross him. He's like, I was always afraid to go against Justin. Well, here we are, and we knock doors, and he's open to studying the Bible, and he becomes a Christian. And he still battled with his addictions. He would be the first one to tell you that he was not a perfect man. But the change in his life was amazing. Just to see the change in his life was truly amazing. And Jason was able to get to know him. But he battled cancer. He was on dialysis. That's one of the pictures that he drew for one of the sisters that came out from Tennessee. So he was a good artist. but just had a heart of gold. You know, he would always keep up with you, and I know he'd always say, "I called Jacob." You know, they were always close, and you guys got to stay at his house. You know, you guys stayed at his house, and he said, "I prayed to God if he ever got me a place to stay, I wanted to make sure I used it for the Lord's work." And you guys were able to stay there at his house a couple of times. And he's like, "Yeah, I talked to Jacob out there in Texas." You know, he would have his moments of struggle, and he would call people from Tennessee or from Oklahoma, or he'd call me, and he was just trying to find people to reach out to help him through that time of temptation. And it was a sad day. This was his funeral. And it was interesting because he was a Christian, but most of his family were more traditional. And I asked what this was for, because I'm more used to the Navajo way. This was Pima. So I'm like, what is that for right there? And it was, what do they call it? Some kind of brush, paintbrush, or it grows next to the river. Anyway, they put him in the ground, and then they would put that over the top. They put groceries down in the grave too, you know, so he can take his groceries, I guess, so that he can take it with him. But they said that you had to put this over the coffin, and then they would put the dirt on there to help him on his journey, is what they would say. But it was interesting. You learn different cultures, different ways of doing things, different belief systems, and we were just trying to. I was grateful that the family let me speak, try to share about Jesus Christ and what happens when we die and the hope that we have with Christ and the resurrection. That's something that I was grateful for the family to be able to do there. This is Reggie. I told you about Reggie, that his grandmother was one of the first Christians. He's from Kayenta and one of our strong Christians there. His grandfather is, this is his funeral. And so it's Bobby. His name is Bobby. Bobby's wife was one of the first converts in Kayenta in the early 70s. So I grew up going to Bobby's house and watched Reggie from the time Ben and I were there. Bobby got COVID, and within a week he was dead. Same age as my mom. My mom and dad both got COVID, and they came out fine. Bobby, dead in a week. Right? It's so crazy. You guys probably all have some sort of stories of some people who got it and it didn't really affect them, and others who did get it and they died. That's Bobby. You know, he was one of our close friends and grew up with him. But when we did that funeral, I was asked to do the funeral in Flagstaff, Arizona, and it was in the winter time. And Flagstaff is about 7,000 feet, so it was freezing. And you talk about limited. They would not let you out of the vehicles. They would not let you be close to the grave. They wanted to bury the body before they would let anybody come close. So this is not even on the reservation. This is in Flagstaff. But it's challenging times, right? It was challenging times. But even then, we had people like Jonathan. Jonathan is a Navajo kid, but he was raised in the city. And he lives just down the street from the church building, and he's 21 years old, and he walks over and worships with us every single Sunday. Mom and dad don't have him come. He doesn't have any really like tight friends at the congregation. He just keeps coming. And we were doing a whole series on 1 Peter chapter 3, that baptism now saves you. So about 2 weeks of just studying about baptism, and He said, I need to be baptized. And so this spring, it's been maybe a month or two ago, he was baptized into Christ. And then because of his influence, this is his brother, Cameron. He said, "Hey, I know I need to get married. We have a couple of kids. I want to get married." And so I was asked to marry Cameron and Risa. But I just got a text this morning from Jonathan that his brother Cameron, he's a manager for a Domino's Pizza. He was stabbed just after midnight last night in the stomach and in the chest. And so he was in surgery. And so his mom, Tammy, she's been worshiping with us. and she is asking for prayers, as just this past night he was stabbed. And JD, he is actually battling cancer. So he had his first treatment on yesterday, and then that night his son was stabbed. And so please keep this family in your prayers, as there's a lot going on there. Another, this happened 2 weeks ago. This is TJ, and he's also from Kayenta, and his sister is a Christian in Kayenta, and he's been having struggles with his marriage, and he got a job down in Phoenix, and his sister said, you have to go to Salt River, you got to meet with Evan, you got to meet with Josh. So Evan started studying with him every day for about 3-4 hours a day, and TJ was finally immersed into Christ a couple of weeks ago. So we're excited about him and all that he is doing. Just a couple of quick things. Somebody tried to burn the church van. They stuffed a rag down into the gas tank, and they lit it on fire. And so we got a notification from the police that the van had thankfully not burned up all the way, but it did cause quite a bit of damage underneath, and I had to replace the whole gas tank and some of those things there. We did get some fun things. You know, we did some hiking. There's Josiah and I. We went to this cave out there not too far from Phoenix, and we just got through celebrating Aaliyah's 18th birthday in Mexico, and so we went down to Mexico. That was our first time going down to Mexico. It's actually closer to go to the beach in Mexico than it is to L.A., for us, and so we got to go there and check it out. They even have sand dunes and take the four-wheelers out there. So God has been good. There has been a lot that's gone on, and I think that even in spite of all the COVID, in spite of all the challenges and all the difficulties, there have been some people that have not worshiped with us. There have been some that have come back to us. There have been new converts. There have been seeds planted. There have been open doors for possibly a church plant to come up here. There have been opportunities for people like you to contribute and to help out with the work that we're doing out there. Prayers have been offered. Faith has been stretched and challenged. You just never know what the Lord is going to do, right? And I don't know about you guys, but for some of you here, This has been challenging, not just with COVID, but if you think about the racial tensions that have happened this past year, if you think about the political tensions that happened this past year, we had the wildfires that happened. I mean, it has been a crazy, crazy year. Stressful. But my hope, my prayer is that our faith is stronger. That I'm hoping that you have had an opportunity to maybe really reflect on where you are with God. And I want to commend you for being here tonight, because I know that Wednesdays can be challenging, when especially you've got a busy schedule. You're like, man, I'm tired. You know, maybe some of you haven't even eaten dinner yet. You just had to rush straight from work and get here, or from some sort of school activity and get here, and you haven't even eaten. And sometimes you're like, man, I don't know if I want to go to church tonight. Guys, for you to be here, I'm grateful. I'm grateful that you made it a priority. And my prayer is that hopefully these lessons is kind of like what you heard from Paul, that he said he gathered the whole church together and he said, I wanted to share what God was doing through us, and that he was opening a door of faith. That's what I hope that you've seen, that you guys are a part of this. We are one body. And I hope that you don't just feel like church is just something that we come to, because there are many people out there that you're working with and that they are your neighbors, and they are going through these same struggles. They've had people die of COVID. They're struggling with, what do I think about COVID? How do I handle this? What do I think about? How do I deal with the racial struggles? How do I deal with the political struggles? Are they able to look to us for some sort of peace? Some sort of wisdom? Do they see something different in us and how we're going through this? Or are we just like everybody else? You know, I hope that you're providing that good news just telling them how good God is. How blessed have some of you been through all of this? If you're still here, that means you're still alive. There's so much good that God has done. And we can share that. We can be sharing that with our loved ones, with our coworkers. You just don't know what they're thinking. And so, if there's something that you feel like needs to be made right, maybe your faith has been pricked. Maybe there's something that needs to be re-stirred up in your own faith. I know it's maybe a smaller group tonight. Maybe it's unorthodox, but maybe it's not normal for you to come forward, but you need the prayers. These people are asking for prayers. They're texting us and saying, please pray for us, because they believe in the power of prayer. They believe that we can help each other. Some of you are struggling with the same struggles, but we don't know about it. And maybe you're trying to go it alone. You've got some great, great elders here. You've got some great people that are willing to just put an arm around you and to encourage you. If you need to respond, we're going to sing a song. We're going to sing a song after I close up here. But if you need the prayers, if you just need some encouragement, come forward. If you're not a Christian, like Jonathan, he finally heard it and he said, man, I need to repent and be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of my sins. If there's somebody in here that needs to have that done, let's do it right now. Let's together we stand and sing.